Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
We're excited to start a new message series today about how important it is to be the person God wants you to be. And what this means is that God is saying to every one of us, you do you, everyone else is taken. Because there is a specific person that God wants you to be, there's a specific person that God wants me to be, and that is who God wants us to be in every day of our lives. Now, when we talk about being the person that God wants us to be, it probably gets us into two groups of people. There's the I need help group of people and the I can help. There's people who need help being the person that God wants them to be. And then there's this group of people that can help others be the person that God wants them to be. Now, the fact of the matter is we might be somewhere in the middle on this at times, but generally I think we kind of see ourselves in one of these two places. And if you're in this I need help group, we hope this message series will help you get a better sense of how you can be the person God wants you to be. Additionally, if you're in that I Can Help group, we hope this series helps you figure out how you might help others be more the person that God wants them to be. Now, a little secret here, if you find yourself in that I Can Help group, it's also true that you might find yourself sliding back over into that I need help because you might find yourself in a place of transition in life. Maybe you're finding your way out of a relationship or into a relationship. Maybe you are on the verge of retirement or just retired. Maybe you're going to have a change in marital status that you didn't expect. What do we say? The only constant thing in the world is change. And part of what happens is when we go through change, it can make situations arise where we aren't always the people that God wants us to be. So we need help and we need each other figuring out how we can do this all together. Now, there is perhaps no more iconic story about the importance of being the person that God wants us to be than the story of David. That one that comes to us in the scriptures, specifically in the book of 1 Samuel, gives us an insight into how important and how much God values us being the people we want to be. Now, the story of David is the one that you might be thinking about, and it begins with David as a boy. David is the son of Jesse. He's got three older brothers. And David has been sent by his dad to go deliver food to his brothers who had been drafted by the king to be in the army of Israel. Now, in particular, in these early days of David's life, the Israelites were fighting the group of Philistines that had been taunting them for decades, it seems like. And in particular, David was sent one day with food for his brothers, and he finds out that there's been a particular Philistine that's been taunting the people of Israel, the army, for 40 days and 40 nights, telling them that he wants to fight someone so that they can settle the battle. Now, of course, you know who that one is, and that is the guy who's very famous, and his name is Goliath. And Goliath was a very tall, very strong, and very well-known warrior. And what he was proposing was a single person hand-to-hand combat that would decide the winner. And this was common in the ancient world. But what was uncommon in the ancient world is that nobody was there to take up the challenge that was being put forth. So David arrives at camp one time, and he hears about this, and he figures out that he might be the one that should take on the challenge of fighting Goliath. Now, when you read this story, it kind of seems that David just shows up and then volunteers and then finds his way into the battle. But there's a little more to the story. And in fact, there's a whole lot more to the story. And one of the beautiful things and one of the challenges is the whole thing almost didn't happen. Now, David then volunteers to go and fight Goliath, and the king Saul takes him up immediately on this. Now, if you've ever thought it's odd that King Saul just sort of automatically accepts David in this role, it is a little odd. But the fact of the matter is, Saul already knew David. David had already been a part of the king's workforce. In an earlier part of David's journey, he was the one who was brought into the king's court in order to help Saul make it through some difficult times. According to the text, Saul had some evil spirits that were bothering him, and they recruited David to be his music therapist to help him get through those things. And he would play that little lyre, a little harp type thing, and it would calm him. So David was a known commodity amongst the king's people. And in particular, David had a really good reputation as well. He was known as a good man. He was known as a good warrior. He was known as someone who was good at public speaking. And most importantly, he was known as someone who had the presence of God with him. So when he volunteered, as desperate as they were, they said, "Oh, we know David. He could be our champion." Now, of course, when they accepted him as the champion that would go up against Goliath, they wanted to give David every opportunity and every advantage that they could come up with to win, because if they lost, they were going to be conquered. And so naturally, what do you want to do for your champion is you want to give your champion the best equipment that you have to offer. And of course, the best equipment, the best armor that they had to offer him would have been the king's armor, because the king would have had the best. And so they decide to give David this armor. The first thing they do is put a bronze helmet on him. The second thing they do is put the chainmail on him as well. And then they say they strap a sword onto him. Now you can imagine that this was like a scene in a movie. They would have gotten him all ready, and then everybody would have like taken a step back and looked at him and go, "Man, does he look like a champion? He looks like somebody who's ready to fight." And everybody would have been like high-fiving each other and be like, "We're gonna win, this is great." But that's not what happens. It says in the text that after they had done all this, David tried to walk, but he couldn't move. It said he tried to walk in vain. And so David has to be honest with the people around him. He is facing this pressure to fight Goliath and the pressure from them to use this armor, but he says to them, "I can't do this," which makes sense, because if you can't walk, you can't fight. And if you can't fight, you can't win. And so David was going to lose if he tried to do the battle the way they wanted him to do it. So he takes off the armor and he says, "Instead of fighting like you want me to fight, I'm going to do what I know how to do. I'm going to be the person that I know how to be." And he says, "I'm going to use the weapons that I have." And the weapon that David had at his disposal was a slingshot. And David was a really good warrior with a slingshot. Now the problem is, when we hear that David is going to fight Goliath with a slingshot, we have a particular idea in our heads of what that would look like. And what we think about is something like this, a toy. And we think to ourselves, how could David go fight anyone with a toy? You know, at best we might have this kind of a slingshot in mind, one that has the armrest and you can pull it back and shoot little pebbles. But that's not at all the kind of a slingshot that was being offered for David to use, because David would have had something like this. It would have been a very robust ancient weapon with a spot in the middle where you could have put a stone, and then they would have these ropes on the side. And what he would have done is he would have put the stone in the sling and he would have swung it around over his head, and then he would have released it and the projectile would have gone forward. Now, that sounds sort of neat, but just to let you know, they were so good at that they could, at that time with a slingshot, get a rock to move as fast as a Major League Baseball pitcher can throw a baseball today. So we're not talking about going out there with a toy, we're going out there with a weapon. Going out there with something that he could be victorious as long as he fought in the way that he wanted to fight. Now, the amazing thing, as you know how the story goes, is that David would go out there with his slingshot and he would defeat David, and he actually becomes the hero, the champion that they needed. But did you catch that? It almost didn't happen, because David had pressure to go out there and be someone that he wasn't, to fight in a way that he wasn't going to do. But instead of caving to the pressure from the king and all the people that were there, what does David do? He resists the pressure and he fights like he knows how to fight. And because of that, we have the story of David and Goliath. And then we have the rest of David's stories where he becomes the king and does all the things that God wants him to do and some things that God doesn't want him to do. Now, when we hear the stories from the Old Testament, David and Goliath or whatever they are, we can hear these stories and we can learn lots from them. There are realities of we can't go around and do exactly what they did, because we really can't go around marching and doing what David did to Goliath to other people. But there are principles behind the stories that are so important for us to learn and for us to hear, because they can help us be the people that God wants us to be. And in particular, from the story of David, there's a really important principle that helps us in our quest to be the people God wants us to be. And it's this, that God wants us to resist the pressure put on us to be someone God does not want us to be. We have to resist the pressures in our lives that tell us to not be the people that God wants us to be. And when we resist these pressures, that is one of the ways that we can be the people God wants us to be. Now, there are a lot of pressures that we face in our lives. There are all kinds of pressures. And the reality is there are good pressures and supports, and there are bad pressures. Now, there are good things that are out there to help us. There are teachers, there are mentors, there are parents, there are family members and friends that are there to help us become the people God wants us to be. And when we encounter those kind of supports, we want to embrace those because those help us have the lives that God wants for us. But then, of course, there's a lot of pressures that force us into trying to be the people that God doesn't want us to be. And there are many of those. There are societal pressures that tell us there's a certain kind of person we're supposed to be or a way we're supposed to act. There's roles that people tell us we're supposed to have or things that we're supposed to do with our lives. And these pressures build up and sometimes we cave to them. There's family pressures as well, that there's these kind of things that our families want us to do. Maybe it's to have a certain job or to live a certain way or to do things that we know we shouldn't do. And we have to at times resist those pressures. And every time we resist those pressures, we become more and more the people God wants us to be. Just like David resisted the pressures that were against him, we too need to resist those pressures as well. Now, at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about those two kinds of people, those two groups of people, the I need help people and the I can help people. The I need help people being the person God wants me to be, and the I can help others be the person God wants them to be. Now, if you're in the I need help resisting the pressures so I can be the person that God wants me to be, then when you face these pressures, and you will because we all do, and they come at us fast and furious many days of our lives, the next time you face one of those pressures, you can ask God to help you face those pressures. Additionally, you can ask other people to help you face those pressures. You don't have to go it alone. There are trusted people in your life that you can ask to help you. Maybe all you need to do is talk to somebody about what you're facing and they'll help you get through it. Maybe you need more help, and simply by asking somebody for help, they'll be able to get you through it. But when we face these pressures on our own, often we don't meet them, and they overcome us. So we can ask for help. And if you're in that I can help group, there are lots of pressures that people are facing today, and you need to step up and help people face the pressures that they're having in their lives. Now again, maybe it's as simple as just listening to somebody or helping them talk through the pressures they're facing. Sometimes you can tell them maybe it's not as big of a deal as they might think it is because you have some perspective that can help them understand how things really are. Or maybe you're in a position to help somebody who's facing some really strong pressures. Maybe you're able to offer somebody a place to live. Maybe you're able to offer them some help with food or clothing or whatever it might be because there are some real struggles that people are having. And if you can do that, you are going to be helping someone become the person God wants them to be, which is also you being the person God wants you to be as well. Because there are so many pressures that people face, and God wants us to help them face them. There are so many pressures in life these days. We've faced them, we are facing them, or we will face them. What God wants for us is to resist the pressures of life that are telling us to not be the person God wants us to be. And every time we resist one of them, we are able to be more and more the person that God wants us to be. God wants you to experience the life God wants for you. God wants you to be the person God has intended you to be. One of the ways we can do this is to make sure we resist the pressures that tell us to not be the person God wants us to be.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.